Now, please stand if you are able for the reading of the Word of God. John 15 from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that you've given unto us. We pray as we come to hear it preached that you would send your Spirit to work powerfully in our hearts. Be merciful unto the frailty of this preacher. Guard this mouth from error. Guard these hearts from receiving any error, but let the truth go forth with power from the Spirit of God. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, do you bear Christian fruit? The Lord Jesus said that ye shall know them by their fruit. If you are one who calls yourself a Christian, is there evidence to prove your claim? Where is your fruit? Are you bearing fruit? And if not, why not? Is it because you simply haven't been pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps hard enough? Is it because you simply haven't been determined enough? Is it because you keep hitting the snooze button when your alarm clock goes off when you should be reading your scriptures? This morning I want to show you that the root problem of your lack of fruit is unbelief. Unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what our text is going to show us. The theme this morning is abiding in Christ by faith. Abiding in Christ by faith. And I've summarized the doctrine that our text is going to teach us as follows. That we are united to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And being united unto him, he becomes the source of our spiritual life and our spiritual fruit. And what I want to show you this morning is that you need to live your life depending upon Christ by faith. The Apostle Paul tells us, the just shall live by faith. Are you living your life by faith? You can't live without air. You can't live without food and water. Neither can you live without the Lord Jesus Christ. So you must be depending upon Jesus through faith in the same way you're depending upon your air to breathe. And you depend upon him for what? For salvation. And that salvation consists of your justification by faith alone. You are declared righteous by God the Father on account of the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and him taking on your sins into his soul. But also, and here's the aspect that deals with the fruit in your life, you depend on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith for your sanctification as well. So every day when you get up in the morning and you're struggling in yourself and you know your faults, you know your inclinations to sin. You're depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised by his Spirit to conform you to his image. And so let us go and to our text and begin to consider it verse by verse. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The Lord Jesus Christ sets forth his church under the parable of a vine. And he tells us that the Father, his Father, is the husbandman. He is the gardener that is keeping the vine. And in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. My brethren, Satan is sifting. But our text shows us why it is that God allows Christians, professing Christians, to be sifted out of the church. Because he's taking them away in his government of the church. Here we have God's government, how he's controlling, overseeing the church. And here we see the urgency of bearing fruit. Because whether or not you have fruit is going to determine whether God is going to take you away, cast you out. Or we'll see later, have men or the angels gather you up to be burned. Or if you will inherit eternal life, and it'll cause you to bring forth more fruit. The church is set under this parable or this analogy of a vine, a plant. And immediately hearing verse 2, you may begin to think, how can one who is in Christ possibly be taken away? How can one, verse 6, be withered and gathered and burned in a fire? Well, there are two aspects or two distinctions of the church. And this is what's being set forth to us here. Here, the whole visible church is being set forth under this parable. The visible church. You see, there are those who are united to Christ vitally, really. That they are so joined to Christ in their soul. They were divinely elected before all time and made partakers of the life of Christ, and they will never fall away. And those are those that are members of the invisible church, the elect, that only God himself has an infallible knowledge of. But there are also those who are members of the visible church. Members of the visible church. And these are those who have been, in a sense, united to the outward body of Christ, the institutional church. And this is one of the things that baptism does for us. We are baptized into the visible church. We are made a member of the visible church through our baptism, what you might call a sacramental union, which is not saving in and of itself. So, in this room now, there are those who are members of the invisible church, those who are truly Christians, truly saved, truly united to Christ. And there are others who are only members of the visible church. But they are really, in a sense, in Christ. You see, the church is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And as a member of this church, Phoenix Reformed Presbyterian Church, you are in his kingdom. He has set up a government, which is his elders, his presbyters, and a presbytery, and a synod. This is his kingdom. And you are part of that kingdom. You're under its administration. So in that sense, even one who is a fake Christian, even one who is not truly converted, can be said to be in Christ outwardly, that is to be a part of his outward or visible body, which is the visible institutional church. But you see, it is not enough to be in the pew. It's not enough to be in the church rolls. It's not even enough to be admitted into communicant membership. Because the elders who admit you into communicant membership don't have an infallible knowledge of the state of your soul. You may be in the visible church, and yet not really and vitally united to Christ in a life-giving way. As you go about your life as a Christian, as I've gotten older through the years, I've seen more and more people taken away from the church. Those who grew up professing Christ. Those who maybe came to Christ later on in life. Those who were reformed. Young men, young women, elders sometimes even, bright men, bright women, falling away from Christ, being taken out of the church. And it is a great tragedy when this happens. And indeed, it is a result of a satanic attack. But it is under God's direction and God's control. He is the one that takes away those branches that do not bear fruit. And so, hear the importance of examining your life, examining to see whether you are bearing this Christian fruit, which our text is telling us about. Verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." This is good news. This is great news, wonderful news that you have been made clean, Christian, if you have heard the gospel. The word of the gospel has come to make you clean. There are two aspects of, or two distinctions of sin. There is that original sin which is imputed to us, the guilt of Adam's transgression, which is imputed unto us, and that alone is enough to condemn us. And Christ has come to take away the guilt of that condemnation, that guilt of sin, which condemns us to hell. But there's also the stain or the corruption of sin, where we have a corrupt nature, where you find in yourself, in your members, that's your physical body, you find these impulses towards sin. You find your being bent against everything that is good and righteous and just. You find yourself with a struggle to read even small portions of the scriptures because your flesh is so bent against it. The salvation which is offered to us in Jesus Christ is whole and complete. It takes away not only the guilt of sin, but it also takes away the corruption and the stain of sin. Makes us clean, both by declaration and also by purifying us. 1 John chapter 1 puts it this way. Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We have both forgiveness and cleansing in Christ. We are both made clean by a forensic declaration before the throne of God and his judgment seat. And also he purifies us. He puts a new nature in us. And so I want to begin for us to look at this cleansing power of the gospel, the cleansing power of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Are you believing in this cleansing power of Christ? Let me show you how you may be having unbelief. You might look at yourself and look at your personality traits and use those things as an excuse for your lack of fruit. Let me give you an example. You might say, well, I'm an introverted person, so therefore, I'm not going to fellowship with the church. I'm not going to be hospitable. That's just my personality. That's just my nature. You might say, I'm really not good at reading. I'm not one who likes to read. It just makes me fall asleep. So I'm not going to read my Bible. Or I've heard some women say, the Bible talks about having a peaceable and gentle, quiet spirit, but that's just not me. So I'm not, that doesn't apply to me. And that excuses me from obeying the scriptures. But this is unbelief. I understand what you might be in your nature. But this gospel is supernatural. And what you lack in your nature will be supplied supernaturally, above nature, by the Spirit of God who conforms you to the image of Christ. And so when you get up in the morning and you know you have this natural propensity against reading the scriptures, you must exercise faith in Christ that he's going to conform you to his image and make you one who loves the scriptures. If you are one who has a propensity against fellowship, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he's going to conform you to his image and make you one who loves the fellowship of the saints. If your personality is contrary to the personality that you ought to have in Christ, then you are resting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that he's going to work those things into you. You're not simply sitting there and acting as though that's not a reality. You see, what I'm saying to you might sound unrealistic. God is just going to change my personality? He's going to take my bitterness and take it away? He's going to take my laziness and take it away? He's going to take my domineering spirit and replace it with a gentle and quiet spirit? Do you really believe in a supernatural gospel if that is something that is unrealistic to you? Yes. Christ will conform you to his image. He will take that old nature out and put a new nature in. Do you believe it? This is why we must abide in Christ by faith. In the same way, we must never take for granted the justification, the salvation from the guilt of sin that we have. Your sin should be such a reality to you that you are always mindful of the fact that you are very much deserving of the ground opening up and hell swallowing you alive. But you are relying and trusting upon Christ's righteousness to justify you before God the Father. And you see, these words can become Christianese platitudes. But you see, when you're on the verge of death, when you are on the street and you're in a near collision that would have taken your life, and then the reality of, oh wow, I'm going to have to stand before the God, and I'm going to have to give an account for all the things I've done, all of my sins, my secret sins, the things that I've been lingering in. Then the reality of needing a mediator, needing an advocate that's going to justify you before God, needing Christ's righteousness to escape the wrath of God becomes real to you. And then you'll understand what it means to abide in Christ by faith, to abide in that city of refuge. You see, the revenger of blood is out. God has drawn his sword and he's sharpened it. And unless you are abiding in Christ, he's going to cut you down. Abide in him. Live in him. Abiding means living. Just like the city of refuge, you uproot your life. Everything that you were, you might have your family, your job, your house, your car, and you flee, and you're taking yourself to that city of refuge, and you're abiding there, and you're staying there. You're not peeking out. You're not looking back and seeing, oh, the things that I've missed. Because the moment you step out, that revenger of blood is coming for your head. Abide in him. Stay in him. The word which I have spoken unto you has made you clean. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Later on in this chapter, we read, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. The word that you have heard, the gospel that justifies you and sanctifies you, must always abide in you and you in it. And thereby you will be made clean. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit unites you unto him. You become a part of his body and he becomes your head. He becomes the source of your life. You who were dead in trespasses and sins are made alive, and the life of Christ begins to flow into you. And that life is also the source of your spiritual fruit. Colossians chapter 2 puts it this way. Verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. You are not simply to receive the gospel and say, I've got it. I've got my get out of hell free card. Now I can go about my life. And then it just becomes something that you did in the past. No, it has to be the way that you live. It has to be the air that you breathe. You have to walk in him. Are you walking in Christ? Are you living your whole life in him? Are you reliant upon him in his grace to sustain you? Acknowledging your faults, acknowledging your sins, acknowledging the corruption of your old nature, but trusting in him to conform you to his image and strengthen that new nature which has been put into you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Christian, if you are attempting to bring forth fruit in your own strength, let me put it this way. If you are failing to bring forth fruit and you're actually genuinely making an attempt, this is the reason. Because you are not abiding in him. You are trying to do it in your own strength. The whole Christian walk, the whole Christian life must be by faith. Having begun in the Spirit, are you going to be made perfect in the flesh? Having been justified by faith, are you going to be sanctified through the strength of your flesh? It won't work. Just as you are justified by faith, you must also be sanctified by faith. You must walk your Christian life relying upon Christ by faith. Otherwise, there will be no fruit to speak of. And this fruit is not for the super Christian only. It's not just for your mom and dad. It's not just for your pastor and your elders. It is required of each and every one who is in the visible church. And if it is not brought forth, then God will take you away. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Our verse is teaching us very much the same doctrine. Jesus Christ is the vine. A branch that is taken away, that is cut off from its source, its root, the vine, will wither up and die. It will not bring forth any fruit. It will bring forth no fruit of the Spirit, those graces we read of in Galatians and elsewhere. It will bring forth no fruit of making disciples. It will simply be in the pew, withering away, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, calling itself a Christian, and yet having no fruit to show for it. This is a very dangerous place to be in. Can you look at your life over the last year and tangibly see, here's the fruit that the Lord Jesus has worked has brought forth in me by his Spirit. If a year ago you were saying, oh, I struggle to open up my Bible and read it, and I just don't do it, and your Bible reading is inconsistent to non-existent, can you look a year later and say, I've seen fruit of growth there? If not, fear. And don't rest in being in the visible church, but run into Christ and abide in him in such a way as will bring forth that fruit, where you are trusting in him with true saving faith. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, and they are cast into the fire, and they are burned. And they are burned. The Lord Jesus has a vineyard. And he, in that vineyard, he desires fruit. And if you are merely in the midst of the visible church, not bringing forth fruit, he will say unto you what we find in Luke 13, verses 6 and 7. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Cut it down. Why is it wasting space in my garden, my vineyard? Are you wasting space in Christ's church? Are you wasting space in Christ's pew? Yes, that's Christ's pew. You see what he says here. Why is it taking up space? Cut it down. But there's patience here. He said, I came 3 years. He was coming and checking often, regularly. 3 years, looking at this fig tree, waiting for fruit to spring forth. And there was none. How many years has he been coming to you? By the preached word? By accountability in your family? By his providences? Looking for fruit. And has that fruit been found? This is urgent, church. You see the urgency and the severity in which Christ deals with this subject. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. If a man is simply in the pew, if he's simply a member of the church, but he doesn't have that life-giving union through having genuine saving faith in Christ, he's not abiding in him. He might be in the four walls of the church, but he's in sin. That's not abiding in Christ in this life-giving way. If he's not abiding in me, if he's not in the city of refuge, he's not taking refuge in Christ, our advocate and mediator, he's withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You will be burned with the wrath of Almighty God. Why? Because he asked of you that which is impossible for you? No, this is speaking to members of the visible church, to whom Christ is offered day in and day out, freely offered. He freely offers all of his benefits to you. Free pardon of all your sins. The guilt in your conscience that you feel points you to the true and the living God to whom you must give an account. And that conscience will convict you all the days of your life until you have the gospel balm which Jesus Christ offers for your soul. He offers the removal of that guilt. He will make you declare to be righteous before God. He will take your sin and give you his righteousness. That's offered to you every single day. And not only that, the habits of sin which have been built up in your life, he will break those down. He will take out your old nature and put in a new nature. He will sanctify you and conform you to his image. A free gift. He will work in you. But if you refuse him, if you choose not to abide in him, if you rather abide in sin, live in sin, then not only will you be judged for your sins against the law, but also for sins against the gospel of free grace. You'll have to give an account for treating your Savior as something common, for treading the blood of his cross underfoot. And so I plead with you this morning, if you are not a Christian, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're hearing these words and they're giving you anxiety about the state of your soul, know this, that he offers you eternal life and peace with God the Father. All you must do is believe on him. You hear that which you've heard, that you who are condemned in your sin and have to give an account before a righteous judge, and you believe what is offered to you, which is righteousness, eternal life in him. As though if you were to stand before a judge because you have a $50 million lawsuit against you, and you know you don't have any way to pay that money. But there's one who offers you not only to pay off your debt, but access to all of his riches. If Jeff Bezos were to make that offer to you, would you find that something easy to believe? You wouldn't believe it. It's difficult to believe this. It's not something that is to be taken lightly. But as difficult as it may be to believe, you take it. You take that free offer. The removal of your debt and your guilt and the access to the unsearchable riches of Christ. And in those unsearchable riches are also included conformity to his image, which you will have, Christian. If you have been looking at your life and seeing your struggles, seeing your lingering sins, seeing your bad habits, know that the power of Christ overcomes those in you. Jesus Christ overcomes the world, and he overcomes the world as it is residing in your heart as well. He takes out that stony heart and puts in a heart of flesh. He writes his law upon your heart, Christian. And so as you go about this day, this week, forget about what you are by nature and look to the supernatural Savior that takes up you beyond what you are, that takes out that old nature and puts in a new one. And this will be the source of your sanctification. This will be the source of your fruit. You've heard the seriousness of this issue of bearing fruit. And therefore, you know how desperately you need it. And so you desperately believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he will work these things in you. He will make you a Bible lover. He will put a gentle and quiet spirit in you. He will make you love fellowship and hospitality. He will take out whatever you are by nature and conform you to his nature, to his image. Do you believe this? Believe it now. Believe it tomorrow, every day of your life. Live your life dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in him by faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we've heard your word. We've seen how gracious it is how gracious the gospel offer is. You offer to take away the guilt of sin and also the stain of sin. Lord, we've also seen the severity that if we refuse this offer, we will be burnt, we'll be cast into hell. Lord, I pray that you would take this word and make it effectual in every heart. To the unbeliever, that you would convert powerfully through the Spirit of God. To the weak Christian, that you would strengthen and cause them to bring forth fruit abundantly. And to the strong Christian, that you would give them strength to continue in this long warfare of this life. Sustain us by your word and through your Spirit as we walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.